Hey, I'd like to share a message with you this morning. Actually, in preparation for this, I actually prepared to preach it Super Bowl Sunday. I was actually prepared to preach it Super Bowl Sunday. I had to change course. I couldn't preach it. Church postponed our service, so we're going to do it another time. So I've held this message because what I want to preach on tonight is, or today is, it's party time. How many of you know about Super Bowl Sunday? It's party time for them Super Bowl winners. I mean, they're going to get the trophy of all life. And I know maybe you wasn't for the winner. You know, it didn't matter to me. I was, you know, I'm not too much into football like I used to be. But I do love rough sports. I love hitting. I love defense. I love offense. But when I started preparing this message, I started dealing with the greatest Super Bowl of all times. And by the way, the greatest Super Bowl for us is a Supper Bowl. How many of you know we go on to the marriage supper of the Lamb? How many of you know the trophy's already won? If you in Jesus, you already have the trophy. If you in the Lord, you're a winner. It's party time. And it was party time for the Chiefs. The Chiefs won. It's party time. You know, you've seen where the quarterbacks held the trophy up. Oh, man, and all the party starts and all the glamour starts. It's all exciting. Well, I'm going to show you three parties today in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus talks about the prodigal son. He actually talks about five parties, if you will. He talks about a lost coin. He talks about a lost sheep. And then he talks about a lost son. Lost coin, very expensive. Woman should have looked all over the house trying to find it. She finds it. She rejoices. She found the coin. Oh, come celebrate with me. It's exciting. It's party time. Lost sheep. The shepherd lost his sheep, went to find it, brings the sheep back. The sheep is found. We're excited. Well, then he gives a story about a lost son. And it's a pretty lengthy story. He talks about a lost son. As a matter of fact, many people have preached it. I'm sure your pastors preach this message, prodigal son. You know, I've heard the message preached, the tale of two sons, from the pen to the palace, from the pig pen to the palace. I've heard it preached in so many different ways. But today, it's party time. So today we're going to see three parties in the parable that Jesus speaks. And by the way, let me give you the background. The setting is a Jewish crowd. This Jewish crowd is pretty angry. As a matter of fact, and this is scripture right before the parable, it says the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now, let me let you know something. How many of you thank God that once you were a sinner and he saved you? These Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, "I can't believe he's allowing that to happen." They're upset that Jesus Christ would receive sinners and that Jesus Christ would actually eat with them. Now, I don't have time to talk about all the history of how the Jews despised the Gentiles. Their desire should have been to win the Gentiles, but they despised the Gentiles. They actually called them dogs. And here Jesus is bringing a parable to a number of different people, a number of different Jews, some of them very religious, some of them very legalistic. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, we're going to read this. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to kind of break it down as we go along. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 said, "And Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.'" And you know what he was saying? "Father, I wish you were dead." As a matter of fact, this young buck is wanting the estate. In order for him to have the inheritance, you know what has to happen? Yeah. Dad has to be dead. He didn't ask for the inheritance. He said, "I want my portion of the estate." Because he knew he had to be dead, and he wasn't dead. He wished he were dead. How many of you in your sins and trespasses, before you knew the Lord, you wish God was not around? So you could do whatever you wanted to do and break any kind of rules you want to break. Now that you're a Christian, there's a Spirit of God that convicts you. And you don't want to break God's heart. Prior to coming to Christ, you could have cared less. You wish there would be no God. That's where the world lives today. And by the way, Mardi Gras is coming. Don't be found in the crowd of Mardi Gras unless you're witnessing for Jesus. The younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." Let me look to disrespect that this young boy has never worked in his life. Oh, he might have worked a little bit. But he hadn't worked much. He's young. He's the younger, as a matter of fact. The older brother gets 2/3 of the estate. The younger brother gets 1/3 of the estate. So he says, give me part of that estate. He's a young buck. I don't know about you. I'm the young buck in my family, okay? If I'd have went to my dad at 15 years old and said, Pop, I want my part of the inheritance. Matter of fact, he didn't have much. We were poor. I walked to school barefooted on gravel roads, so our family was pretty poor. We were sharecroppers. But if I'd have did that, how many of you in your family, there's maybe a young buck in your family that tries to do things ahead of time? As a young man, if I'd have did that, I probably would have had a board meeting right away. And he'd have given me my portion of the estate. You know? And once again, I look, my mom didn't use the board. My mom used the rose bush. Yeah. Because back then, once again, we were poor. I didn't have a lot of shirts. I had 2 shirts. So I didn't wear a lot of shirts. Summertime, no shirts. And if she would call me in the house, she'd be waiting by the door with that sticker bush. That hurt. I felt the sting. This young man's coming to his dad and saying, Dad, give me part of the estate. So he divided his wealth between them. Between both of them, by the way. He divided the estate. Inheritance wasn't given yet. He divided the estate between both of them. Older son gets his 2/3. First son gets his 1/3. He divides his estate. And let me tell you something. The Jews are mad. They look at this story that Jesus is saying and saying, he did what? I can't believe he did. The dad gave him the estate. In the Jewish law, you didn't give the inheritance till the person was dead, number one. And you definitely didn't give it to a young buck that asked for it before time. So the crowd is a little upset. In Deuteronomy 21:17, you find out where they gave the firstborn the double portion. It keeps on going, and it says, and not many days later, the young son gathered everything together and went into a far country, into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. And you can, once again, the crowd is, he did what? He took the estate. Now, by the way, the estate was land, was cattle, it wasn't money. So he had to somehow liquefy the funds. He had to have liquid money. He had to have something that he could purchase drinks with. He could purchase prostitutes with. And he couldn't do it with land. So he went to the pawn shop and pawned his stuff off. How many of you have ever been to a pawn shop? You know, maybe some of you have been to a pawn shop to sell something to go buy drugs. It amazes me how many inmates I talk to and how they went to the pawn shop to go and sell something that their grandma owned. So they could purchase drugs. That's where his son's at. I've liquefied everything, sold it all, got a little bit of money, probably sold land for what could have sold for maybe $10,000. Well, I got $100 for it. As long as I got a little bit of cash. And he takes off and he goes into a far country, the Bible says. He takes off and he goes into a far country. As a matter of fact, this is where I'd like to play a song in the church. And I know I don't do it, but this is where I'd like to play a song in the church. How many of you ever heard that song? It's Party Time. Come on, y'all ain't that holy. You know, I know some of you jitterbug to that song, you know. It's party time. Got to get you off my mind. You know, it's time for me to pass the wine. Now I'm fine. I don't know all the words, but I know there's a song like that. Because I remember my wife and I used to jitterbug to it. And when I think about this, I think of how the son felt. Party time. It's time for me to get my dad off my mind. And I'm going to go party, 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 party. Because God, I don't want nothing to do with you. By the way, this is a picture of the Father God, a repentant son, a pharisaical crowd, and a son who was bitter. It's party time for this son. He takes off. He comes. He starts taking all the money. However, Jesus gives the rest of the story. When he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country. And he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out of one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything to eat. Let me tell you something. For a Jew, this is about as bad as it gets. First of all, you want the estate before your dad dies. You want the inheritance before your dad dies. Now, You want to take off into a far country. You squander all the money. You waste all the resources. Now you go and hire yourself to a man who gets you to do what? Feed pigs. And you are willing to eat the pods that the pigs were eating. To the Pharisees, they're probably thinking, how bad does this one man want to live out there? Once again, he's a Jew. You know what Jews thought about pigs? Pigs were unclean animals. What's he doing hanging around with the pigs? I'll never forget a message someone preached. I heard it a long time ago. Get rid of my problems, but leave me my pigs. How many of you know Jesus got rid of some problems when he cast the demons out of one man? Cast the demons out and said, hey, send us to the pigs. Remember the pigs? Send him to the pigs. What happened? Kill the pigs. The people weren't mad because he got rid of the demoniac. Got mad because he got rid of our prophet. However, pigs were unclean to Jewish people. But they were making money off of it. What a crowd was Jesus preaching to. And this crowd is getting angrier and angrier and angrier because they're thinking, he did what? He did what? He did what? Both the Father, now the Son. And it says, and I like the word this morning. Word this morning talked about run. You guys were talking about running into the refuge. Running into the refuge. You know, when I'm always looking for confirmation. And this was some of it this morning. The confirmation. Now, once again, the pastor's probably preached this message maybe 10 different times. I wondered about even preaching it. But like I said, I prepared it. So I said, well, I got to preach it. You know, I want to share what the gospel says. I don't want to share what, you know, I could share a lot of stories, but the stories is not a lamp unto your feet. The word of God is. You know, a story is not what you're going to fight with this week. You know, the word of God is. So it says in the next verse, it says, but when he came to his senses. Let me tell you something, and I wrote this down. Repentance starts with an accurate assessment of your condition. Repentance don't come just because we say repent and you repent. Repentance comes because you realize, man, this is where I am. This is where the Son was. He realized he first of all, thought he wanted his own way and found himself wanting, found himself now hungry. And let me tell you something, when a person's hungry, they'll do anything. But what this young boy decided to do was repent. He decided to repent. An accurate assessment of what his life was. And it was time to repent and realize how he left his father. What condition did I leave my father in? How I disobeyed authority. How I disrespected the one who taught me everything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hard men? And by the way, a hard man was, they paid men back then daily. You find that in Leviticus chapter 19. He says, how many of my father's hard men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hard servants. And basically what it was saying, I don't have no rights. How many of us would come to God that way? But you know what I hear today? We come to God and we think we got all kind of rights. We come to God and we think, God, I demand this. When I came to him, I have no rights. My rights is in his word. I can look at his word and say, this is my rights. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I look at his word and I would like to scratch that right out. Husbands, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. You know how Jesus loved the church? He died for the church. That's the one I want to scratch out. Come on, husbands. Sometimes we don't want to die. And I'm not saying it's physical death. But when we came to him, just like this son, we have no rights. So he got up and he came to his father. And let me tell you something. When Jesus gives this statement, he says, came to his senses. Now he's coming home. You know what the Pharisees are doing? It's party time. It's party time. You know why? Because the Pharisees knew, boy, you're thinking straight now. Now you're understanding what you should have done to begin with. The Pharisees also know, we don't know the background of it all, but the Pharisees also know, and the boy also knows. The boy also knows that when he got back home, he was going to be scorned. He wasn't going to be treated as, you know, I know we know the story, and we see the fatted calf and everything. That's not so. That's not what was in his mind. How many of you have ever done some things against your parents and you didn't want to show up? Come on, you know, look, I know that there was one time where I didn't want to show up, and it was after dark. Because I knew if I showed up after dark, board meeting time. You know, today my wife told me how she stayed up for 3 days and she used to do drugs and said, My God, if I'd have stayed up for 3 days, my dad would have found me. We didn't know what it was like to stay up after dark. You're in the house after dark. So he knew that when he got home, it was not going to be this welcoming committee. It was actually going to be a committee that was waiting for him. As a matter of fact, they did a funeral for him, because it says that in Scripture. Because the father says, my son was dead and he's now found. They actually did a funeral for him. When he left, the ceremony that they did was actually a funeral for that son. He was no longer a part of that family. And the Jews knew that. Did the funeral. He's no longer a part of that family. So that son is coming back now. And the Pharisees are thinking, oh, he's alive? Oh. Well, if he's alive, then we only got one punishment waiting for him. We're going to put him outside the city. And we're going to shake our hands at him. We're going to spit on him. We're going to defecate on him to let him know you are an unworthy son. And he knew that. But he put an assessment in his mind that he had sinned against God or against his father. And his assessment realized, I got to get back to my house. And I'm running. He's not walking. He's running back home. Realizing he's got a responsibility to go and repent before his dad. But you know what was supposed to happen? Because that's where the Pharisees are having a party. What was supposed to happen is, when he was running back into the city, when his son came back, the father was not even supposed to stop the son. The father was supposed to let the son go into the city. Go and let the city do whatever the city's going to do with you. Let the city tear you up. How many of you have ever done some things, and maybe you've tried to, it was tough maybe coming back into the church even, much less the city? You know, I talked to many inmates that, you know, and I try to tell them, go back into your church. Go back into a family. They don't want me, bro, Russell. They don't want me. So I got to try to get them to get somebody to walk them in church. Not so much just to their family, but to walk them in church. Because they feel like nobody's going to, you know, forgive them. The community is going to scorn them. People don't look today. And look, it's happening in church. Just like back then. Maybe not to that degree, but it's happening still today. Where sinners come to Christ, they realize that they've done some things that were ungodly, some really ungodly things, not just I stole a pencil from the church and I left. No, did some things that they feel so embarrassed now, they don't want to come back into the church, but they come back into church knowing they're going to get the scorn. How many men and women that we've ministered to that we've had to encourage the pastors, pastor, spend some time with this individual. They've repented. And they want to come back in. And pastors have told me, Brother Russell, you don't know what the community is saying about him. Yeah, I do. I've spent some time with him in prison. Yeah, I do. I know what the community said about him. But if they're forgiven, they're forgiven. Who am I to say they're not forgiven? And you bring them back into the church, and this is where the Pharisees had their party. He's coming back. He's got to his senses. We're going to have fun now. And I hope there's no Pharisees in this church that want to use legalism instead of grace. Right. How many of you thank God for grace? You have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. I'm not saved because of my works. I'm not saved because I was Mr. Goody Two Shoes. I'm saved by grace through faith. When my wife came into the church, I'll never forget it. She sat in church, and my wife came into church with halter, hot pants, and go-go boots. That was her style. And she's finally coming to church. And she came to church, and she sat on the front row, because that's where I would sit. She sat on the front row. And when she sat in the front row, the women moved away from her. Like, don't sit next to my husband. We just ran across one, as a matter of fact, just recently. I appreciate her church. And we just ran across one that did that. And when she saw Christine, she had to repent. She said, I'm sorry. I thought you were coming to steal my husband. I'll be honest with you. Because when Christine came, she was smoking 4 packs a day. She wasn't refined yet, but she was in church. And I thank God that she came through the scorn, and the scorn was there. A lot of them thought that she was coming to wreck their homes, coming to destroy the relationships. And she was really just trying to come and, how can I understand where her husband is? Because she thinks I'm on a different planet. I got saved. My life changed overnight. She even told me, she said, I want to divorce you. You are a different man. You know, overnight my life changed. Hers didn't happen that quick. And I pray there's no Pharisees in the church today. But there were Pharisees there. And there are Pharisees today in the church, out of the church. that have a hard time understanding how could this man be forgiven. And we know the story. Pharisees having a party. Next verse. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. You know, that father had been waiting for a long time. Just like Father God has been waiting for a long time for people to come to Christ. How many have been praying for some people and you're wondering when? 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 That father's been waiting for a long time. This is a picture of Father God. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He felt compassion on him. He ran and embraced him, and he kissed him. Once again, that crowd, he did what? He did what? He embraced a dead man to a Jew? By the way, there's a law in Deuteronomy. You don't embrace a dead person. To embrace a dead person was against the law. And Jesus is saying he didn't just embrace him, he kissed him. He kissed him, and then, you know, we know the rest of the story. He said, and the father was supposed to refuse to meet him outside. He said, sit outside the gate. The next verse says, and the son said to him, Father, I sinned against heaven. Wow. You know, he didn't just say, I sinned against you. I sinned against heaven. My sins reach heaven. My sins reach God. That's how bad it was, Dad. I've sinned against heaven. And in your sight, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Now, let me let you know something. The father stopped him there. He was supposed to say, make me one of your hired servants. That's not what the Lord does. The Lord don't save you and make you work. That's salvation by works. Once again, he saved you by grace. Father stopped him right there because he was supposed to go a little further and say, make me one of your servants. Make me one of your slaves. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Sandal on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was what? Dead. And has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they had a party. It's party time. Father says, it's party time. Son was dead. He's now alive. Let's have a party. Get the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on him. Put sandals on him. But you know what? And I tell people this all the time. The moral of that story on the father embracing the son. Yeah, he loved him. And he cared for him. And I know we hear the song, When God Ran. I remember that song. It was a great song. And I used to think, well, you know, when God ran, hey, God ran, God embraced him and stuff, and hallelujah, thank God, God, he runs through us. But you know, in that culture, in that society, they didn't run. Dads didn't run. For dads to run, they had long robes. For dads to run, he'd have dirtied his robes with the dust on the robes. And if he'd had dirt on the dust of his robes, he was ceremonially unclean. So you can once again imagine what the Jews are thinking. He did what? He ran. And the moral of that story is the father ran to the son. Let me use somebody. I used it this morning. I didn't call that same brother. He told me don't do that again. The son ran to the father, and the father embraced the son. Embrace. To where you can smell the cologne, all right? Thank God he used cologne, all right? The father embraced the son before the son got to the city. Because how many of you know, and had he got to the city before the father's embrace, they might have killed him. Guess who's waiting for the brother? Angry brother. Very angry brother. As a matter of fact, rest of the story, paraphrasing it. Angry brother, celebration's taking place. Where's the angry brother? He's not at the party. He's not at the festivity. Angry brother is on the outside. Dad goes to meet the angry brother, and angry brother basically says, I worked with you all life long. This young punk, he comes and you kill the fatted calf. What have you given me? And you know who that angry brother represents? Another one of the Pharisees. Nothing but law, legalism, law, legalism, no forgiveness, none. Had not the father embraced the son, he'd have encountered that angry brother. And that angry brother would have probably taken him out. He'd encountered an angry crowd. And the father said, no, hold son. Don't run so fast. Time to embrace. It's time for my embrace. I got to be able to give you that ring of authority. I got to be able to put a robe of righteousness on you. And I could preach on those three items. I got to put the sandals on your feet. Because, son, you got to walk with me. You can't go into the city without walking with me. You got to be with me. And Christian, let me tell you something. If you walk out this church and think you can start doing anything without embracing the Father, you're mistaking yourself. Too many of us today are living off of what we think the Spirit of God is just allowing us to do. We need our Father's embrace every day. We need the Father to embrace us every day. That young man told me in the back, and he's probably not here this morning, but I use him like I use Shane. And he told me in the back, he said, you know, I don't hug men. I try to keep my composure. You know, I know he's cool. He's cool. You know, he wants to be like the cool boys. I understand that. But unless you allow the Father to embrace you daily, you got a world that wants to, they want to crucify you. I don't know about you and your workforce, unless your workforce is the church, unless your workforce is some Christian company. The workforce is dog-eat-dog world. I worked for Gulf State Utilities for 17 years. I got one man that came to Jesus. 17 years was a life of a lot of heartache, crying, tears, praying for the company, praying for people to come to Jesus, praying that they would come to the Lord. Supervisor always criticizing, no promotions. And I started realizing, this is, you know, look, daily, God, I don't know if they'll ever come to you, but I got to continue to share the gospel. I got to live the life. Now, I didn't go there with signs and stuff. I would go there with my Thompson Chain Bible. That was my study time. It was on my own. Every morning, they'd show up at 7:30. I'd show up about 6:45, and I'm studying the Word. And my supervisor came in one time and said, you got to bring such a big book to work? I said, and he called me in his office to say that. I said, what do you mean, my big book? He said, you know that big book you have? I said, what book? I wanted him to say it. He said, you know, the Bible. I said, it's not a Christian curse word. You can say it a little louder than that. But I said, you don't have a problem with the men bringing their Bible to work. Oh, they don't bring their Bible. I said, oh, yeah, they do. Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler. They bring their Bible. You don't have no problem with that Bible. But you got a problem with the big book. And look, went through it for 17 years, and I'm going to be honest with you. When I look at what God did in those times, was getting me ready for what He would be using me for in the future. I had to learn not to get bitter. I had to learn how to walk by grace, walk in love, and not go to work with a machete. But God kept us, and He's protected us. Church, for those of you that are saved, it's party time. Those of you that are not, God wants to invite you into the party. He's inviting, you know. Hey, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you'll find rest unto your soul. He's calling people to come. So I don't know where you are, but like I said, that word this morning, run. If you don't know Jesus, you need to run to a Father who can protect you in the city, who can protect you on the workforce, who can protect you in the neighborhood. But He's wanting that embrace for intimacy. That word kiss means intimacy. And you know what that word intimacy means? Into me you see. And I want God to do that. When God sees some stuff, Brother Dwayne mentioned it, you got some imperfections, you got some stuff that you don't, you know God don't like? God, you look into me and get the trash out. Because I want to be pleasing to you, Father. By the way, I could preach this service, this sermon, and I still took a jet tour, but I could preach this sermon. I did a deal in the prison where it took me five Bible studies to get the whole thing out. You know, because there's so much in there. There's so much that, you know, we gloss over, but I pray that we get the point. He wants to embrace His bride this morning. He wants to embrace His bride this morning. I don't know, maybe you're one that you've been running through a lot of mess this week. I don't know. But church, we need His embrace. We need His embrace. He desires to embrace His bride. So before you go to your city today, would you allow the Lord to embrace His bride?